Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Time for the Corlin Economics Report. We really probably, Jimmy, ought to change this to the Corlin Political Report because we're basically talking about politics the whole time. But I want you guys out there to know that the reason we do that is politics are very, very influential in terms of the financial situation in America and also around the world. We're going to start out the show today. We're going to talk about crime in America, and we're going to start with San Francisco, where they are now using robots for police officers on occasion. Jimmy, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, so apparently the San Francisco Police Department has went ahead and bought a number, apparently seven military-grade robots. Yeah. I'm sorry, 17 remotely piloted robots. 12 of them work right now, but these have weapons on them, so they're basically, you know, can use deadly force. And of course, what is
shades of RoboCop the movie.
Yeah, well, you know,
it's
kind
of scary.
It's kind of funny, you know, not funny, but it is frightening that we've got this evolution in domestic police where they have what was a movie back that almost, you know, a sci-fi, surreal sci-fi of Detroit back in the 80s. This the entire idea of RoboCop, where a law enforcement officer is wounded in a, or basically killed, but they bring him back and use his parts in order to become a robot law enforcement officer.
Right.
And what is more interesting than that, which is the sci-fi piece of it, is how bad things have gotten in Detroit in that movie. And a lot of people thought it was just sci-fi. But the reality is, when in some areas in Detroit, in some areas in Chicago, in some areas in New York, some areas in San Francisco, certainly in L.A., those sci-fi reality, you know, visionaries are showing the reality of today. I mean, you have these mass groups coming in and doing, you know, just robbing stores, shoplifting on a massive scale. You've got violence and murder in the streets. I mean, in Chicago, you know, every weekend they have a large number of shootings and deaths. And some of these things are absolutely unreal. The robberies, what's happening in New York City on the subway, you know, 40% of the population has stopped using the subway in New York City. Even news reporters say, hey, I won't even get on it anymore. I mean, mainstream news reporters are saying it to people like Kathy Hochul. They're saying, you know, to the governor there, they're saying, look, we don't even, you know, we don't feel safe in the city. However, you know, what we've got is the cops being alienated and then called, you know, fascists. Well, and then they can't police. So what do? They end up buying robots. And in San Francisco, I think, you know, it's kind of a very bizarre twist when they really don't support law enforcement, when the prosecutors there are allowing numerous people to go free, and these people go free on small things, and they end up doing big things. And it's very damaging to the society. It's damaging to the individuals. It's certainly breaking down, you know, any trust in, you know, law enforcement in the community. And something like this really doesn't help. But at the same time, I understand the cops are scared to death to get involved in these situations because, you know, they're not supported.
No, and not a bit.
So how, in a standoff or something like that, a robot that's controlled by a police officer may save a cop's life.
So, you know, Jim, I just want to throw in one thing here. It's very, very surreal that the day after Thanksgiving 2022, we have gotten to this point in America. I just almost don't believe it, Jim.
It's hard to believe on one hand. On the other hand, we've been watching the
progression. We've been watching the progression,
Yeah, and we've been watching it. We've been actually warning people about it for a long time.
Yeah, we have been.
But there's a disconnect, and I think a lot of people that live inside those urban areas, they're very isolated from others, right? And they depend on all the infrastructure they see. So they demand, they believe more in, that government is the solution. At the same time, they're frustrated, certainly with law enforcement, And if you've got a small group of people that have been very effective in communicating this anti-police rhetoric, and then the biggest problem is the media and a lot of, you know, well-funded operations that reinforce those ideologies. And what they're doing is they're undermining confidence in our system. And I think it's for a bigger purpose. My opinion, it is to undermine stability in the United States. This is the George Soros-funded prosecutor effort. This is the big corporate entities that are trying to basically bring the United States down to a level equivalent to other countries in the world because they don't believe in our basic rights, but more importantly, because those basic rights are a threat to corporate control and authoritarian control and basically communism, socialism, and communism.
Jim, let me ask you a question. We've been doing this for about 3 or 4 years now, and we talk about what, you know, so-and-so is trying to do to take over the country, to demean the country to the point where it's almost non-functional. I would have to say that so-and-so has succeeded up to this point.
Yeah, I would argue that there's been a tremendous amount of success, unfortunately, because many, many people have needlessly been hurt in a lot of this violence. Numerous small businesses and shops have been robbed.
You bet.
You know, and it's it. We were on a, really for the last 20, prior to the COVID outbreak, really up until 2020, the United States, since the mid-90s, major violent crime and small crime had been declining.
Yeah.
And that was the result of more incarceration for people doing small things. And what, you know, Rudy Giuliani did as mayor of New York, where, hey, you know, the broken windows policy, if someone breaks a window, you arrest them because they're the one that's likely to step up and have a bigger problem later.
Yeah.
Now that's completely been reversed, where the prosecutors allow this small stuff to go, and then all of a sudden these people that did a lot of small stuff end up doing something, you know, killing someone or attacking someone, and well, there's no retribution.
Yeah, well, it's a known fact that Mr. Giuliani Esquire did really clean up New York City. You know, I was in New York speaking at an investment conference towards the end of his tenure, and it was interesting. You know, my daughter and I walked all over the city late at night. We had absolutely no problem. Got back to the hotel. I was talking to some of the people in the hotel about our walk. It was really a very long walk throughout Manhattan, starting in Times Square and just going all over. Nobody on the streets, no problem whatsoever. The people at the hotel said that was amazing, but just a couple of years ago, you could not literally have done that. And so he really, really cleaned up the city. And I guess my question here, Jimmy, is so why did it have to go back to where it was? I'm going to give you the final word, Jim. We're at 8:22.
Yeah, so I it went back that way because people just got complacent. And they didn't realize what it takes and actually to hold people accountable. And then the politics have basically separated and created this impact on communities and individuals through both COVID lockdowns and numerous, you know, pushes through the George Floyd issues, the riots, where we really have undermined faith in each other, and people are absolutely afraid to identify what they feel or believe, and then the media compounds that by silencing people's voices, and the tech companies do the same. So it's a very, very bizarre situation with censorship.
It's a bizarre situation, Jim. We got to cut for a break, but we're going to start the next segment talking exactly about this subject. Stick around, you guys. Yep.